Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. Man, I'm dying of heat. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 18. We are going through the book of Proverbs. This is just one topic, and we'll do this with many different topics, just so you know, over the next many months. But for the last 2 weeks, this will be week number three, we're out of the book of Proverbs giving you a list of the characteristics of a fool. Now, I said this before, all of us have moments of being foolish. Nobody is absent of foolish moments. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, the famous last words of a West Virginian. Watch this, y'all. That's called a foolish moment. Amen. We all have those times, but when it becomes repetitive, it becomes part of our character. That's when it becomes a characteristic trait. All of us are going to have times where we are not as wise as we should be. Matter of fact, the Bible says wise men are not always wise. I know a lot of wise people who have made foolish decisions and became unwise in the process. At one time were wise and then became fools. And so we're going through this, and I'm not preaching per se, but I'm giving you principles, defining, and we go to the next one. And it's just one after another. Tonight, we're working on, we're going to pick up with point number 21. We have 35, so hang in there. I don't think I'm going to get through the rest of the list tonight. All right? But Proverbs chapter 18, look at verse number 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's lips enter into contention. That means this: fools are argumentative. Fools like to start arguments. Fools take the opposite side of every truth. A foolish person has to be right, even if he's wrong. But they like arguing. They like that verbal sparring. They get laser-eyed and they see one thing and they can't see anything else. Let me teach you something. We talk about having the vision of an eagle. Do you know that an eagle doesn't really have very good vision? An eagle has what they call laser vision. It is a very tiny spot, and they get fixated on that, and that's all they see. And they can see from a long distance, but they only see a very little spot. They have no field of view. So when they're scanning, they're only seeing very tiny spots, and when it catches their eye, they lock on it, and that's where they go. Now, they can see it from a long distance, but they have no field of view. That is the way often a fool is. A fool gets locked in on one thing and can't see the forest for the trees. They want to argue about everything. Fools aren't happy unless they're arguing. Good night. If you've ever taught in a class, you always have somebody who wants to argue. Oh, my soul. If you work around people, you've always got that one person that wants to argue. Fools, we've educated ourselves with other fools, and instead of calling it arguing, we call it critical thinking. Critical thinking is the same as arguing. It is seeing the negative side of every positive. That was developed by fools, not God. Fools like talking about contention, and they thrive on it. They're the ones that get in an argument with somebody and then go brag to everybody else they got in an argument with somebody. They're the ones that get in trouble and go around school or go around work telling everybody all the trouble they got into and how they blew their cool with the boss. Fools thrive on that contention. Notice verse 6, it says, a fool's lips enter into contention. That word contention, It's the same as fighting, arguing. It's that struggle. That's what a fool's words are. Their mouth always enters into contention. All right, take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, moving on. Verse number 3. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. The foolishness of man perverteth his way. That means this. The fool has to be first in life. They put themselves first in life. They put themselves above everyone else. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, God said others first, then you. In a family, you put others before yourself. There are things that I don't prefer, but I don't fight over it. There are things I eat I don't always like, but I'll eat it anyway. He said, my wife, she hates, what do you want for dinner? I don't care. Whatever you make, I will eat. I don't have to like it to get it down the hatch. Now, I may not eat as much of it if I don't like it, but there are just certain things I don't care for. Now, there are some things I really just don't like putting in my mouth. If it looks like it came out of a baby diaper, I don't want it in my mouth. And that's what squash looks like to me. Forget it. Just don't want it, amen? Now, you can, and if I had to, I could get it down. But I'm not going to enjoy the process, all right? Fools, God says you aren't to be the center of everything. First of all, he's to be the center of everything, not you. Second of all, others, and then you come last. A fool's priority is me first. They have the me first mentality. They get what they want and everybody else gets the leftovers. Well, I hate to tell you something. That is the characteristic of a fool. A fool looks at what others want, not what you want. A fool chooses to go against God's principles to get what he wants when he wants it. A fool will unwisely go into debt because he wants a toy. He'll put himself way in debt because this is what I want. They have a good way of, they spiritualize and say, well, I need it. Well, maybe the other four that you bought, if you took care of them, you wouldn't need them. Fools hate truth, which is God, because then they see that they themselves aren't the ultimate authority. You see, a fool, if you remember, has to be his own authority. And when it's not what they want, they argue with it. Okay, everybody look at me for a second. It's like people who get mad at the preacher when he preaches truth, especially on standards and convictions. Oh, my soul. I get more people upset with me because I believe what the Bible says as God said it, not as man interprets it. Well, you're just too strict. I did my own research. I'm glad you did. But did you know probably where you got your information wasn't right? It just amazes me. And don't get mad at me, teenagers, but let's see. How old are you, Malachi? You're 16. Okay, it's amazing how some 13 or 14-year-old knows more about the Bible and God than somebody that's been preaching for almost 38 years. It just ceases to amaze me. I know adults that have been saved, let's say 5 years or less, and they think they're God's gift to the concordance. They know Greek and Hebrew. Well, I know a Greek too. He runs a restaurant. I know a Hebrew. She's sitting over there. Former. She's Hebrew by birth. Not Jewish by religion, but Hebrew by birth. Now, may I say something? You can study all the Greek and Hebrew you want. If you pick yourself up a King James Bible, it's the same thing. I can save you a lot of time, money, and study. Just read the King James Bible. It is the exact same thing. Fools hate that, though, because you show them in the Bible, well, that's not how I see it. Oh, so it's how you see it now. Well, that's not what I was told before, so that's not what I believe. Don't you think somebody else could have been wrong, too? Moving on, Proverbs chapter 22. Oh, this is one of my favorite. I've been waiting to get to this one. When I originally did this, I put this first. Believe it or not, you'll see why in a moment. Now, listen to me. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a... but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Everyone is born a fool. Everyone is born a fool by nature because foolishness is sin. We all have a sinful nature. And the Bible says it's bound in our heart. Did you know, Asa, that you're foolish by birth? Not just because of who your mother is. She saw that one coming. She was looking at me the whole time. Uh-oh, it's coming. I could tell by the look. Now, wait a minute. All of us were born fools.
That's right. Yeah.
And the Bible says, by the rod of correction, you drive it far from them. When a golfer goes to the tee box and has to hit the golf ball a long way, what club does he pull out? He pulls out the
driver,
all right, not the putter. You want to put it as far away from you as you can. Some of you just leave them all in the bag and throw it, right? Got a better chance. Now, wait a minute. That driver is, the object is to get it as far away from you as you can. And closer to the goal, which is, in this case, getting rid of it. That rod is in reference to corporal punishment. It's not child abuse. I think there are Christian parents who can abuse a child, but God put a place on the bottom end of a young person that's padded, that's supposed to be warmed every once in a while to knock the foolishness out of them. Well, you'll warp their psyche. Well, Dad never called it a psyche, but it got warped a few times, let me tell you. It was warped more than once. Now, I was a faster learner than most. I usually didn't do the same thing twice, or I usually didn't get caught for the same thing twice. You see, children who throw tantrums are foolish. And every child throws a tantrum, just so you know. Now, when they're 14, 15, 16 years old and they're still throwing tantrums, we have problems, Houston. I wasn't looking at anybody. I was looking at the top of the shiny heads back here, all right? A child that can't stand to hear no and throws a tantrum over it is foolish. I was recently in a store, and a mama told a little one no, and the little one started crying, and I thought, uh-oh, this is going to be, I wonder which way mama's going to go. And the kid started screaming, and mama grabbed a hold of that little chitlin, squeezed his little cheeks on. Did you hear what I said? We will deal with this in the car. Stop. And the kid went. I walked over to her. I handed her a gospel tract and said, ma'am, I respect you. Thank you. She said, I said, I watched how you handled that situation. I said, if we had more mamas like you, we'd have less school shootings. She said, thank you. I said, you did it God's way. I'm proud of you. I don't know her name. I just gave her a track and walked on. But, man, I was proud of that lady. I watched this other. I'm not sure if it was a he or a she or an it. It probably didn't know what bathroom to use. And I saw it talking to its buddy going, I just can't believe that. I thought, no wonder you are the way you are. You didn't know what the word no meant. Children are selfish. Children are impatient. Children twist the truth to get what they want. Well, mom said, you better check with mom before you say yes. Well, dad said, better check with dad first. I don't care how good your kids are, they're going to lie to your stinking face. Well, not mine. Mine did. They all do. You say, why? You know, you don't teach a child to lie. They know it by nature. Lying is the greatest sin of a child. It's the first and greatest sin of a child. It's the hardest one to break for all of us, too. Look how many of you lie to yourself about how right you are all the time. I was looking at my notes when I said that. Foolishness needs punished out, or you'll carry it with you the rest of your life. Dr. Spock is a fool. Not punishing your children is foolish. When they took the paddle and the Bible out of the public schools, no wonder their kids are bringing guns in. Just on the news this week, you know what one of the newest video games is for kids? School shootings. How to go in and shoot everybody up in your school and win the prize. Modern parenting is foolish. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. And don't fry me yet, because you're going to have plenty of other. Let me give you the rest of the fuel so I burn faster. Public education is ruining the parenting in America. You enter your children into public education, the public schools then have more control than mom and dad. And the public school system will tell you that. They can, if you pack your child's lunch, they can tell your child, you can't eat what mom packed, it's not good enough, you have to eat ours and we'll charge mom and dad. Thank you to Michelle Obama. I'd like to have seen him try that when I was going to school. My dad would have been all over that place. What right do they have to tell you what to put into your child's body? And yet from kindergarten on up, they want to teach them about the birds and the bees. Can I tell you why? Because even a child at 5 years old knows what's right and wrong. And they have to teach them not to have the difference between right and wrong from an earlier stage. And for the last 20 years, they've been programming these kids, and we wonder why we have the problems we have. Everybody doing okay? Everyone is born foolish by nature. It's bound in our hearts. None of us have to worry about being foolish and learning to be foolish. We do it naturally. We do it naturally. I got to hurry. Number 24. Everybody doing all right? Look at Proverbs 23. Look at verse number 9. Oh, I love this one. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Fools hate or despise wisdom. Fools hate or despise wisdom. Okay. Let me show you what I mean. Let me give you a foolish statement. Well, when I was a kid, my mom and dad forced me to go to church. That's why I don't go now. Fool. That's foolishness. Your mom and dad taught you how to use the washroom, too. Are you mad at them for that? Your mom and dad taught you how to use a fork and a spoon and a knife. Are you mad at them for that? Let's carry the principle all the way through. Well, spirituality is not something that you can be forced into. Well, unspirituality they're forcing us into. Fools refuse to believe that someone knows more spiritually than they do. And I mean this sincerely. I have been preaching as of July 31st, 38 years. please don't get mad at me, but I probably know the Bible better than anybody in this room. I have given my entire teen and adult life to learning it. I've given almost 40 years of my life to reading, studying, and knowing this book. You might know one area of it, maybe a little better than I, but that doesn't mean that you know how it works together with everything like I do. You don't know how to apply it to somebody else's life like I do. I could get up with all the charts and teach on Revelation and show you the seven vials and the seven trumpets and the seven seals and the seven horses, and I could show you the seven churches. I could go through all those things. I could show you the events and into what order and how long they were. We could go through Daniel and go through Isaiah and go through Ezekiel and show you how the prophecies were fulfilled and will be fulfilled. I can go through all those things too, but it doesn't change anybody's life. What good is it? I'm for reading it. And may I say this, most all of that is speculation anyway. We know what the Bible says, that's it. For you to say you know when it is, I hate to tell you, you don't. Bible says even Jesus himself doesn't. He's waiting on the Father to say when. You see, fools will reject truth as truth if they disagree with it. Let me go back to, well, that preacher, that church, they're just, they just don't see things right. I don't see it that way. Hello. Churches are changing all the time. I had a preacher call me this week. He's been invited to go preach somewhere, has not answered them, and said, Brother Bush, what do you know about this place? I said, my first statement was, it will be a cold day where the booger man lives before I'd go preach there. And then they asked why. I said, you ask specific questions, I'll answer specific questions. I'm not going to ramble. So they asked, and I answered. I have no idea if that person will go or not. That's their choice. They asked my opinion. Say, are you going to think bad of them? No. But it may put a little bit distance between us if they do go. Not by my choice, by their choice. You see, fools reject truth as truth if they disagree with it. Fools think facts contrary to what they believe are just opinion. Well, that's just your opinion about that. Folks, ladies ought to dress with their knees covered. Men ought to dress with their knees covered. If your knees are uncovered, the Bible says you're naked. I didn't say it. God did. That's not my opinion. You can say what you want. You can disagree and call that my opinion. I know what God said. Men wore breeches in the Bible. They all didn't walk around with robes on. Okay? Contrary to what the Catholics want you to believe. I hate to disappoint you, they wore pants. The fellas did. They all didn't live in stone houses. It wasn't the Flintstones. They knew how to mine gold, silver, iron, steel. They knew how to make it. They knew how to build things. Noah built an ark made out of wood. Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 8. That means, and he didn't have stone tools. Can I tell you something? They were more modern than you think they were. Do you know up until about 1900 or the early 1900s, everybody in the world believed that very way? It's only since the inception of evolution in the 1860s and brought on into the modern world into the 1900s that we changed world history that way. And it was only the Catholics throughout the rest of previous history that taught it the wrong way. Everybody doing okay? Fools have a list of failures they can point out to follow wisdom contrary to what they think. Well, I know somebody that listened to that preacher and didn't turn out right, so it's not what's best for me. Oh, the famous one. I know somebody went to Bible college and didn't turn out right, so I shouldn't go. I've heard that so many times. If I had a dollar, I could pay for a new building for every time I heard that. Can I tell you something? It's up to the individual. And isn't it amazing? They always point to the failures. How about all the successes? Well, I know a doctor. I had one doctor that didn't do right, and now I got this problem for the rest of my life. So all doctors are bad. Okay. That's like saying you went to one mechanic, and because they didn't fix your car right the first time, all mechanics are bad. That's foolishness. I better hurry up. Proverbs chapter 24. Look at verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 27. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. Fools cannot keep up with wisdom. Now, we define the word fool as someone who knows what's right and wrong and chooses to do what is wrong. Okay? Let me ask you a question. Why do we get advice from fools? We should never seek wisdom from a fool, because there is no wisdom in someone running from the truth. Let's see here. Okay. Brother Joe, you're an electrician. He has successfully become a licensed electrician. Don't you think I'm going to listen to him about electrical work? God knows I'm not touching it. Amen, Brother Joe? I needed some done for an inspection on my house that I was selling. I called Brother Joe. He's a licensed electrician. He could do the work. And I watched him for a second. He said, just right here. I said, you can touch it all you want. I'm not touching it. Didn't I, Brother? He said, oh, come on over. I said, I'm not touching it. He said, I don't even like going to the store and buying a spool of wire off the shelf. I really don't. I hate the stuff. You say, why? Because I've been bit a couple times and I don't want bit again. Not doing it. A fool should never, we should never seek a fool's advice. Somebody that hates God, you shouldn't get your advice from them. By the way, that's why I won't join the local ministerial association or assassination or whatever you want to call it. I'm not going to sit down with somebody at a table somewhere just because they're quote-unquote religious that doesn't even believe in salvation by grace through faith in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. That would be foolish. I'm not going to go preach at the local Easter thing for the ministers. Say, aren't you community-minded? Yep, that's why we've passed out almost 118,000 gospel tracts. I'm community-minded. Doesn't mean I have to hold hands with everybody that sings Kumbaya. You see, fools always look for their own way versus the right and wrong. Those are the kind of people that say it has to be done my way or it shouldn't be done at all. Either do it my way or the wrong way. That's a foolish statement. How about we do it God's way? Fools only want themselves to succeed and don't care how they get there or who they hurt in the process. They'll step on people to go up the ladder. I got to hurry. Look at Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 9. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. Fools always look for a way to get away with wrong. Fools are always looking for the loophole to get away with wrong. I'd worked in Christian school administration for about 20 years, either at the grade school, junior high, high school, or college level, or all at the same time.
Can I tell you something? Young people are always trying to find a new way to get away with something. And so are the parents, just so you know. Oh, my soul. I may have used this illustration before. I don't know. It got to the point where you can have ridiculous rules.
But somebody's got to have a regulation, or things just get out of hand. So I had a young lady, wore the wrong kind of shoes. I gave her demerits for it. I had a wet mama, mad as a wet hen mama in my office. I mean, she was storming. We just bought those shoes. Those shoes cost blank dollars. And now I said, here's the handbook you signed. Here's the page you signed that said, you're not going to wear those. I said, the demerits stick. Well, we don't have the money to go buy them. I said, you go to the store today, you find a pair of shoes, and call me while you're at the store. And they said, what? I said, just do what I told you to do. Later that day, I got a phone call. That mom's at the store. I said, are they acceptable by the school standard? Yes, they are. I said, put the manager on the phone. I'll give him my credit card number. I'll pay for him myself. And I did. I said, but your daughter's still getting the demerits. Mom came, brought the shoes. She changed her shoes. Do you know the next week she wore the same pair of shoes that she got demerits for? And she got demerits again. And mom got mad at me again. And I said, you're the one that let her out of the house. I didn't put them on her feet. Matter of fact, I paid for a pair of shoes that she didn't have to get demerits for, and the demerits still stick. Say, what is that? Foolishness. Foolishness. liberals. Oh, they're always looking for a way. Oh, we should have countries with no borders. No walls. Nobody should ever be refused. How in the world do you have a country with no border? The Sodomites. Well, everybody deserves love. There's a difference between love and perversion. Sometimes love means no. You don't let your kids go play out in the middle of I-81. You say, no. You don't let them go out and play in the middle of Route 9. That means no. You say, well, you hate your kids. No, I love them enough not to let them get whacked by a car. No is a love word. Matter of fact, God said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I got to hurry up here. Fools scorn. Now, the word scorn and the word scorner, let me give you another definition. So you have wise person, you have a fool, and then you have a scorner. The simple person doesn't really understand right from wrong. A scorner is someone who questions the rules. A scorner is the one that's always challenging the rule. They're the ones that says, but officer, I was only doing 7 miles over the speed limit. What are you giving me a ticket for? Okay, I didn't look at anybody on that one, all right? So you can't say you were talking to me. Yes, I was.
Fools question rules, and fools question the authority of somebody. They don't have a right to say that to me. That's a scorner.
They want proof. I've got to have proof. Oh, man, I've heard so many parents do that to me. Okay, I'll get you your proof. Here's your proof. My child would never do that. Right. My child would never lie. Okay, do you want us to repeat what they said goes on in your house? No. Let's move on. Proverbs chapter 26, verse number 1. As snow in summer, sounds like West Virginia,
And as rain and harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. Number 27.
Never honor a fool. Never give honor to a fool.
Honor is reproducing something in excess. It's continuing on.
I'm 51 years old. My dad is considerably older. I love and I respect my dad. I think he's one of the wisest men I've ever known in my life. I mean that. But guess what? I don't have to obey my daddy. Just so you know, I'm a grown man. I've got grown kids, and I don't have to obey him. I don't honor him by obeying him. I honor him by taking what he taught me and continuing the success of that teaching. That's what honor is. Honor is taking what someone has given to you and multiplying it and making it bigger. A farmer receives honor in harvest time. He plants a couple hundred pounds of seed, but he reaps thousands and thousands and thousands of bushels of crop. You see, that's what honor is.
And God said we should never honor a fool. Our world does not need foolishness honored.
I'll just say it.
Barack Obama getting the Nobel Peace Prize is honoring a fool. The Academy Awards
is honoring fools. Hollywood actors and actresses. Why honor fools like that who have destroyed the morality of America? They just had the White House press banquet and honored somebody that did nothing but
trash what is right and wrong. Those kind of people don't need lifted up. Honoring a fool is as out of place as snow in the summer. Unless you live in Minnesota. Now, wait a minute. We are not to honor foolish people. Now, this is where I'll probably get in trouble, but just added to the list. That's why I'm very careful who I'll ask speak here. I'm not going to honor a fool. And I'm not going to honor someone who is speaking with fools. I find out who's preaching with whom, where they've been, and who they associate with. Because you show me who their friends are, I'll show you what they are. So I'm very cautious. And if I don't know, I wait. Does that mean I agree 100% with everything everybody says? No. Sometimes I don't even agree with myself. What are you talking about? But I find out what direction they're going. I do know this.
I have friends who have had some associations who now no longer have that association because they were coming away from it. They didn't know to come out of it. When they found it out, they came away from it. And they're going the right direction. So they may have recently associated with somebody that I know something about that preacher does not know about.
But I find out what direction they're going, and they'll land the right direction. They really will. But I still don't bring them right away. I don't promote them. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. I don't know why. Be careful who you associate with. And I'm not afraid to say this. Listening to some suave, debonair preacher on the radio who's got a smooth voice, but he doesn't use the right Bible, is a fool. Chucky Stanley is a fool. Chucky Swindoll is a fool. James Dobson and Hocus Pocus on the Family is a fool. James Dobson got his psychology degree from the same secular universities as everybody else. He has a $28 million complex in Denver, and $22 million of it was provided by the Catholic Church. I want nothing to do with Hocus Pocus on the Family. Well, they're Christian psychologists. You can't get any better psychology than the Word of God. You don't need to have a psychology degree. You need to know God and the Holy Spirit and let the Word of God work through people. I told somebody this week. They said, well, they said, my pastor refers us to Christian psychologists because we need professional help. I said, then you need to find a new pastor. If he doesn't consider himself a professional, you need to find somebody that is. Come to my church. I'll help you. I got no use for that mess. None. I know, I just labeled myself, but I don't care. Proverbs chapter 26. Let me read one more and we'll finish with this one tonight. I'll be done, I promise, no matter what, because I'm drawing the line there and we will be done. But Proverbs chapter 26, verse number 3. The Bible says, a whip for the horse and a bridle for the ass and a rod for the fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be likened to him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh the damage. All that to say this, it's very difficult to correct a fool. It's very difficult to correct a fool. Fools need harsh, forceful correction. Can I tell you something? If you ever see me harshly correct somebody, it's a fool. I can put up with simplicity. I can put up with even some untrained impropriety. The other night, Daniel came in church, walked in, went back here, 5 minutes later, walked out. I wasn't angry with him, but I'll talk with him next time I see him and say, we're not going to do that again. He wasn't foolish. He's simple. He didn't know any better. Now, was it right? No. But it would have been more wrong for me to stop everything and blow a stack at him. I got a chance of him coming back now. If I blew my stack, he's not coming back. I didn't like it. I thought it was rude. But I know Daniel's situation. Daniel's never been taught that that was rude. He's never heard anybody say that was the wrong thing to do. So I'm not going to criticize him. I'll just pull him aside and say, hey, Doc, next time, we're not doing that. It'll be okay. By the way, it bothered me more than anybody. Just so you know. You know how hard it is to keep a train of thought and you only got one wheel on the track anyway? So fools need harsh or forceful correction. And by the way, don't respond to a fool the way a fool comes at you or you become foolish in your response. Answer not a fool according to his folly. If a fool yells at you and you yell back at the fool, guess what? You just became a fool. They won. Students are real good about getting teachers off track. They know what teachers to start sports conversations with so they don't have to have class that day. They know which teachers to start political conversations with to get them off track that day. They know which teachers to ask certain questions to and let them wander so they don't have class that day and they just hit a rabbit trail. Everybody hated my class because that didn't work with me. I had an agenda and I got through my agenda. They weren't going to control the classroom. Everybody doing all right? Did you ever watch a grown adult argue with a child? It's funny. I watch grown people argue with three-year-olds. That's called answering a fool according to his folly. A three-year-old is foolish. Why are you arguing just like the three-year-old? When you answer a fool, he becomes wise in his own eyes. I win. And in his foolishness, he finds victory over someone who is supposed to be wiser than they. When you react to your children that way, or you react to a fool that way, the child wins.
Okay. Don't respond to their texts or to their Facebook. You can't say I was talking about you. What in the world are you friends with fools on Facebook for anyway?
Well, I got to find out what they're doing. You're becoming as foolish as they are. I don't respond to my critics. For me to criticize my critics, I'm as foolish as they are. You say, what do? When I correct a fool, I point out the principle in the Bible that they violated and say, this is where you're wrong with God. Not where you violated me, but this is where you're wrong scripturally. And take it up with God. And by the way,
this will help you. Never trust a fool to deliver information correctly. Telling a three-year-old, go tell your mother this, you just proved how foolish you are.
I hate to disappoint you. And the only difference between a three-year-old and 13 years old is 10 years. They walk alike, they talk alike, they think alike, and they fall down the same way. The brain rolls out the ear, it's not there. Well, I've trained them. They ought to know. Well, they ought to know better, but your brain fell out of your head at 13 too. Junior hires are as dumb as toddlers. It's just part of life. Eventually, most of it comes back. Never trust a fool to deliver information because they're going to twist it. They're going to benefit from it. Be wise enough not to send important information through fools.
Taking the kid in your class that's a fool and sending them to the principal's office to deliver information is not real smart.
Be wise enough not to trust a fool to important information. That's why I'm careful who I tell what to. Be careful. That's why you shouldn't seek counsel from a fool, because they won't keep it quiet. A fool will not keep information quiet at all. They're going to use it to their advantage. Please don't take this the wrong way.
God gives preachers the ability to forget real fast. I can counsel somebody's problem in my office. 5 minutes later, somebody asked me what it was about. I could not tell you because I don't sit there and think about it. I've counseled virtually every person in this room, and I couldn't tell you probably two problems out of the whole room. I mean that because I don't sit there and think about it. My wife wouldn't even know what any of them were.
Because I don't go home and tell her. You say, why? Because when I go home, I want to be happy. I don't need to drag her down. She's not my assistant pastor. She's not the one I have to pray to and get strength from. Why discourage the encourager? The worst thing you can do if you have a bad day is dump on everybody at home. They're there to pick you up. Why do you want to dump it on them? Dump it on the people at work. Dump it on the road on the way home, but don't dump it at home. Make home happy. Okay, I'm done for the night. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We all have foolish tendencies. We're never going to get away from them all. But we shouldn't have the characteristics of a fool.